Good evening, everyone. This is the July 18th meeting of the Pacifica National Board's Programming Committee. And I'm Rob Robinson, the chair, the convener. And I'd like to call the meeting to order now. It is, according to my time, about 8:58 p.m. Eastern Time. And I would like to ask our Secretary, Serene Roberts, to call the roll.
I'm actually showing 8:51. I don't know about anyone else.
Okay, make that correction.
Yeah.
And I need to apologize in advance. I'm stranded in Brooklyn away from a computer and with no access to the list. So from memory.
Oh, okay, all right. I'll read off the roll. Ngozi Kamau?
Here.
Patty Heffley is excused. Rob Robinson is here. William Walker? Not on. Marie Armudian?
Here.
Ken Freeland?
Here.
Teresa Allen?
Attending.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not a member, I'm sorry. Alan Minsky? Arturo Lemus? Cade Campbell? Norberto Martinez? Sean Rhodes?
Here.
Serene Roberts?
Here.
Bonnie Simmons?
Here.
Joe Wanzala?
Here.
Okay. We have 8 members present. And we now have a complete set of the minutes, and what we're going to try to do of the minutes from my present.
Somebody just fell off.
Did we lose someone?
No, they'll be back. Don't worry about it.
All right. Serene has sent us the rest of the minutes that we were missing. And so what we're going to try to do, rather than discuss those minutes this evening, since everyone may not have the same information in front of them, is we will make sure that everybody gets a copy of each of the 5 minutes. And I think only the minutes from early in March were approved. So that will give everyone a chance to make any corrections, and then we will approve the minutes in chronological order at the next meeting of this committee in August. Is there anything that anyone would like to add or correct or point out in that regard? Serene, for example, anything?
No, I'm sorry. I dropped off for a second. I'm back. I'm wondering why we're simply not approving them at this meeting.
Pardon me?
Why aren't we approving them or voting on them at this meeting?
Because everybody doesn't have everything in front of them, and that will give everybody a chance to look at all of them in one batch and make the changes in one fell swoop.
Cool.
So,
does Serene want to take minutes tonight, or do you want me to take minutes? This is Teresa.
How did we do it last time?
Well, we actually asked for somebody to be a volunteer point scribe.
All right.
And to sort of take down the major part of the notes, and others could volunteer at different points if it was needed, and then at the end we sit around and make sure that we have it right, and then we approve them, and then we're done.
So let's do the same thing so that we get them out again.
Amen.
Let me make a motion that's what we do again this time.
Rob, I don't think it's necessary. I think we've already agreed that that's how we're going to do it from now on. I think that was an indefinite.
Oh, that's right. We did. Okay, well, Teresa had agreed to start keeping minutes, so if no one's offended, I'm just going to let her continue to do what she's been doing. Good.
As long as she can stay through to the end of the conference call and give us the feedback when we need it.
Okay. All right. Ken, would you like to talk then? The next thing we have to do is approve the agenda.
Would you mind reading the agenda?
Yeah. Okay. The first item on the agenda is the call to order, the secretary's report with the minutes. The second item is the report by the Subcommittee on Collaborative Broadcasts. That's Ken's subcommittee. The third item is the we're talking about a rescheduling program evaluation subcommittee to continue that discussion. The fourth item is just an update on the collaborative work that we're doing at the network on the AFL-CIO convention. Then we're doing any discussion of old business, new business, and then we're adjourning.
To
Chair. This is Sean in New York.
Yes.
I have a question. At the last meeting, Ken and the people who are part of the core programming subcommittee were supposed to have a discussion to find out, clarify what their mission or some of that stuff was. Is that part, is that already on our agenda here? Or is
it is. It's item number two.
Oh, part of the collaborative broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
That's perfectly appropriate.
I don't think the question of defining the mission of the committee was really part of that. I think what it was taking up a specific task that was assigned in the previous conference call to the committee to take up, which the committee agreed to take up and then did take up, which was talking about collaborative broadcasting, core programming for Pacifica. And then, well, we'll get to that in the course of it, but that's really what the substance of the agenda item is.
Okay.
Okay.
But we need someone to move to approve the agenda.
So move.
Okay. Then hearing no objection to approving the agenda, I will declare that the agenda has been approved and ask Ken Freeland to discuss the discussions that his subcommittee has conducted in the interim.
Do you want to definitively agree on what's happening with the minutes before you move forward?
We did already.
Okay. All right.
I think what she's asking, Rob, is if maybe you want to do it formally, since that was prior to us having a quorum.
So what I've written is we have now have a complete set of minutes, and Gozi will send all five copies to the committee members, and they will be approved in chronological order at the August meeting.
Right. I would like to make a motion that all of the copies of the extant meetings, all the minutes, will be forwarded to each member of this committee, and they will have between now and the next meeting to review those minutes, make changes, and the first item of business at the next meeting will be to approve all of the outstanding minutes.
I just want to make one point here. I heard somebody asking about the minutes that I had originally put together for the first meeting. I believe those minutes were already approved, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they were. They
were. I just want people to be aware of that. They don't need to spend a lot of time on them. Right.
I think I mentioned that, but I just thought it would be good to send it to everybody.
Sure.
That way they can keep the stuff wherever they want.
And as well as the last one, too, even though those are already approved.
Yep.
It would be good to just have it all. And the ones from tonight.
Right. So can we... Everyone understands the motion about how we're going to proceed to complete the minutes. Is there a formal agreement with that? Is there any objection to that or any changes or suggestions?
I have a point of information, please.
Sure, Serene.
Okay, are there people who did not receive the minutes that were posted to the listener?
I don't know that there were people that did not receive the minutes, but, for example, Sean indicated that he did not see the copy of the minutes from June that we circulated after the last meeting. So this is simply an attempt to make sure that everybody gets to look at all this stuff, and that we complete the vote on the minutes in one meeting after we've given everybody plenty of time to read them.
Question from Sean in New York.
Yes.
Once that's done, will all those complete and approved minutes be posted on our listserv?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, Rob, do you want me to say Chair will send all copies of committee, all copies of minutes to committee members, and they will be approved in chronological order at the August meeting as the first item of business?
Yeah, the Chair will see that every member gets a copy of all the minutes, whether they've been approved or not. They will have a chance to review them all together, and then we will vote on them at the next meeting
in
chronological order. We're not going to vote on the ones that we've already approved, obviously, as Ken pointed out.
Okay.
Okay. If there's no objection, then I consider that we've resolved the issue of the minutes.
Fine.
And I would like, again, to suggest that we ask Ken to discuss the collaborative broadcast discussion that we had.
Okay. Sunday, 10 July, there were three members of the subcommittee who were participating in the conference call, myself, Maria Armudian, and Robert Robinson, And unfortunately, I'm not sure that a quorum is a major deal with a subcommittee, but in fact, I don't think that does constitute a quorum.
It's
but
not.
We decided to go ahead and have a discussion anyway, and it was quite a productive discussion. And there's really not too much I'm going to be able to add to what you've already seen, hopefully, in the proposal that Rob has put forward. That actually is a formulation of the different types of programming that Pacifica does. The four categories of programming being local programming, national programming, network programming, and commissioned programming. I'm sorry, and affiliate programming, so there are five. I think that's the fruit of our conversation. I think he did a very good job of representing that. I think approaching it this way will give us a means by which to convey to the PNB a policy direction that would be useful and probably pretty well acceptable. I want to mention two issues that were discussed. I think one of them Rob did a real good job of incorporating, which is the question of the must carry rule. I think that one thing we were able to discover in our conversation was that the must-carry idea is a major sticking point in the idea of doing any kind of national programming or network programming. And I think it was well formulated that what we would hope to move towards is programming on those levels that is so good that people would want to carry it and not need to be told that they must carry it. So I think trying to move around what is likely to produce resistance at the local level by way of compulsive programming is something that we want to continue to keep in mind.
Compulsory.
Well, you know, there's a few obsessive compulsives involved in the process. So, yes.
And do you have this report written up?
No, because actually, the formulation of it is actually what Rob sent out today that is written. Okay, I hope you've had a chance to see that. It's basically a breakdown of programming into four types of programming. I'm just mentioning a couple anecdotal things here that I think, a couple of things got I think one of them got dropped, and one of them, and that is the idea of the calendar. Rob had that on the original draft, but somehow I don't think it made it onto the second draft, Rob. So I just wanted to talk about that. One of the ideas that we definitely found ourselves focusing on was how useful it would be to have a regular calendar of anniversary type events, you know, like the birthday of Martin Luther King or the upcoming like when there's the AFL-CIO convention coming up, things like that, things of great moment to Pacifica, so that it would enable not just individual programmers but also the community of Pacifica programmers to be able to look ahead to see, well, you know, this might work for a major broadcast effort and so forth and so on, a collaborative effort. What are you guys doing on this date? You know, we're doing this and so forth and so on. So that was one idea that I think somehow didn't get mentioned in that I should probably be re-included. And then the second thing was there's one other item. We did talk about a program idea that would typify the sort of national programming and that would actually be collaborative, almost network programming, that we were talking about. And that would be a show idea called Best of Pacifica, where each station area would be in a position to forward on a weekly basis or whatever something that was really good in their broadcast series for possible inclusion in other signal areas if they wanted to pick it up and broadcast it. So it could be put together in a single show. Anyway, it's a way of using resources, shrewdly, wisely, sagely, so that the local stations are not as much stretched and they're able to take advantage of one another's own better efforts and give the give variety to their programming. So that was something that had very good. I think there was rapport on that one, or consensus. That could be sort of provided along with the earlier program idea that Joe Noberto and I had proposed earlier as examples of low budget collaborative programming that would exemplify the sorts of programming that we're talking about in on the national and the network level. But has any, let me just ask how many people did not get a copy of what Rob sent out, with the programming breakdown?
Did you send it to me, Teresa?
Yes. I can't send it to you right now, but I can send you a copy as soon as we hang up.
Okay, and I'm assuming that you just want me to say Ken gave a report on the collaborative programming conference call of July 10th?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reference to this document that Rob has put out?
Okay.
There's a document that defines the different categories of programming, and we also discussed...
When did you send out the document? This is Adnan speaking, I'm sorry.
I sent the document out today, Adnan, but I'll send another copy of it to you this evening as soon as we get off the call.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And Ken, could I just add a couple of things?
Of course.
Okay. What this was an attempt to do, many of you know that there's been ongoing controversy about national programming and broadcasts that we do around events like the counter-inaugural and so on and so forth. This is simply was my attempt to define that there are certain types of programming that Pacifica has traditionally used and to explain the roles and relationships that different programming plays in the life of the network. We hope that by doing this, people will not feel that in enacting programming policy, we're trying to dictate control for the local station program schedules, for example, to some national entity. That's not it. We're simply trying to say that Pacifica programming includes five different types of programming. Local programming that originates at the local station, national programming like Democracy Now!, network broadcasts that we've done in the past, for example, the John Conyers hearing about the Downing Street memo, affiliate programming. We've got almost 100 affiliates now. It's conceivable that we would take programming from affiliates in the same way that we provide programming to them. And finally, I don't anticipate that we're ever going to do a lot of it, but in the past, Pacifica has commissioned special programming to be produced. And it could commission the programming, for example, from its local stations, from groups of producers and programmers from within the network or even from outside the network altogether. But those are the five basic types of programming that Pacifica has engaged in, you know, as long as it's been a network. And it's simply an attempt to describe and define those things so that we won't keep arguing about what programming is. Does that sound like a reasonable approach?
Chair, this is Sean in New York.
Sir.
Is it possible to make revisions to that document you sent out?
Yeah. I mean, I simply put something together to reflect the discussion that, you know, what came out of the discussion that Maria and Ken and I had. It's not definitive. It's simply one rough cut.
Mm-hmm. Now, those revisions take place now or how? When?
Well, look at it and mark it up and send your comments to everyone in the committee to review.
Okay.
Share your ideas with all of us.
Okay. Because on the network broadcast, you had something under the impact, and you mentioned news, serving listeners with news and public affairs. You left out the arts and culture.
Yeah, that's sheer oversight. So, yeah, I mean,
it needs to be tweaked.
Okay.
Right. The other thing about something like this is it's probably a little bit longer than we would all like it to be, but that's simply because I was trying to explain what I was talking about. So you can also edit this for concision and brevity.
Also, one other point for Ken. He mentioned that the calendar item was not there.
It was in Rob's, the first draft that Rob sent me. It was in there, but somehow
it's still
I think
there.
Probably... Oh, it is still there?
Yep.
Yeah, it's under the commissioned.
Oh, well, good. I beg your pardon then. I just didn't see it when I was looking at the second draft, and I thought it had been accidentally dropped. But that's good if it's in there, because I think it's a vital part of what we're talking about how we can focus collaboration.
Yeah, the calendar is an important part of our programming that really is not part of the infrastructure.
But it's good that you spoke about it anyway, because those listening to the call would have some further information.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Ken, do you have any, or would anyone like to discuss how they think we can proceed in making a proposal to do a Best of Pacifica broadcast? Does anyone have any thoughts about that? Or feelings or objections to that? I know we've discussed it before. Bonnie has, at least.
Would you repeat that, please, Rob?
One of the things we've discussed in the past is creating something called the Best of Pacifica, in which we try to provide listeners in all of the signal areas with a glimpse of what's going on, what program-wise, at other stations. And I don't know what the best distribution means is, but I'm just saying, does anyone on this call have any ideas on whether they like that, they'd like to see that? And if so, does anyone have a sense about how we should proceed in raising this issue, either with the board or with the administrative council?
Wait,
this is Bonnie. Let me know if I'm on stack or...
Go ahead.
This is Ken. I'd like to be behind Bonnie.
It seems to me that... I'm not sure how you'd structure this. If you are... wouldn't you want to get the general managers really involved in this?
Absolutely.
I mean, how is the determination of what is the Best of Pacifica made, first
exactly.
of all?
Exactly.
Good question.
And would it not maybe make sense to do this in a very careful, thought-through fashion so that once we've established what that might be, I'm just kind of riffing here, but it might be something as soft sell as you initially start building up some of these shows that are considered by whatever determination body there is to be the Best of Pacifica. Maybe some of them are just given to the stations initially just to be used, like let's say we suddenly have a hole somewhere for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's a holiday
sure.
weekend, or it just is a time when we suddenly find ourselves stuck for one reason or another because someone is sick or something like that.
That's right.
It might be a much better way to go that the stations would each have some of that programming available and be able to actually put it on the air, and if there were time, promo it. If not, just slide into it by just having these available to fill holes rather than forcing anything down anybody's throat or giving anybody the perception that something's being forced down their throats. And I bet we would find good use for it. That was just what I was thinking, is a way to kind of introduce the concept to people.
Yep. I guess what I'm saying, Bonnie, is...
This is Ken. I was on the stack next to me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, Ken. Ken, you're next.
On the stack after Ken?
Me too.
Please.
Okay. Ken.
Maria.
Who was after Ken? Who spoke after Ken?
Maria.
Then someone else? Joe, did I hear you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Ken, Maria, Joe, and if anyone else that I've forgotten, speak up now.
You guys hear me?
I may as well. This is Teresa. I might want to put my name there. I can give you some information on how the affiliates coordinator handles that.
Okay. Ken, you're on deck now. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, in responding to what Bonnie said, I think that was Bonnie that just spoke before me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think that this illustrates once again the importance of addressing the whole question of compulsion before we even get started with anything. And I would not envision this program as in any way being something that was a must-carry. I wouldn't want to even for it to be approached that way. On the other hand, I do think it needs to be approached in a way that makes it possible for stations who would like to carry it on a regular basis. So that means that there would need to be a commitment to it on the part of all the stations to provide content on a regular basis so that the program was available on whatever, a weekly or monthly, whatever basis, so that they could, if they wished to slot it, they could. However, if the station doesn't wish to slot it, then of course they can use it for filler, as Bonnie was suggesting. it's always good to have, you know, stuff in the background to throw in. I need to ask a question of Rob that betrays my ignorance here. But, Robert, what is the Administrative Council, and why do you see it as the essential way of, you know, negotiating this question? And then I have one more comment after that.
The Administrative Council is the GMs and stuff like that, and I'm simply saying once we've got our ideas together, I would suggest that we forward it to them so that we're all on the same page. But I agree with, I mean, my personal feeling is I like what Bonnie said about us figuring out how to do this in such a way that it's desirable rather than mandatory.
Right. My only other comment was, oh boy, I forgot. Now I'll have to go, put me on the end of the stack, please, and let somebody, and let the others go.
Okay. I've forgotten who's next on the stack.
It was Maria.
Maria,
you're always getting me, Rob.
Go ahead, yeah, right.
First of all, I also agree with Bonnie, and this were some of the things that we talked about on the conference call, the three of us. And I know KPFK is pretty adamantly opposed to, you know, must play sort of a thing. But what I was thinking in terms of process, there were two things I was thinking in terms of process that would get people kind of excited about it. And one would be that that each station could figure out their own process, and we could give them like an advisory process, which I think would have to incorporate four elements from each station: the management, the non-management staff, who are the producers and hosts and whatever, including the programmers that are unpaid. So management, non-management staff, the LSB, and the programming councils, and that they could figure out a formula on their own, and we could, instead of saying this is how you have to do it, this is our recommendation of how you do it, but please involve these four elements in this process. And that way it's kind of fair, it's still democratic. And then I was sort of, when we first talked about this, I was sort of envisioning a either a weekend type of a show, because then you finish up the whole week and you do a Best of Pacifica weekend kind of thing, or a once-a-month thing at the end of every month. That was kind of the thing that popped into my head that would make it really kind of cool. And then, you know, again, if stations didn't want to use it every month or every weekend and just wanted to use it for when somebody was out or on a holiday, that's great too. So, because I, again, I'm definitely of the non-must-play mindset. But they may want it every month or every week. At the end of. So those are my thoughts.
Okay. I think Joe Gonzalez is next.
Yeah, and this is Serene. Can you hear me?
Serene, yeah. You're after Joe?
I have to get on the stack.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I wasn't on that call, but my understanding, or the concept that this idea seems to speak to me is the idea of, you know, cross-pollination between the network,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a functional way. That certainly, you know, on the one hand there's the one extreme of must carry it, and the other extreme of, you know, you can do it if you want sort of thing. But it's so the must carry, obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, is not a, you know, not a good approach, and I don't think it's part of the proposal necessarily, as I understand it. And then, you know, and what Bonnie's saying makes a lot of sense, that it needs to be. In order for it to be implemented, there needs to be some serious thought as to how we go about it. I don't like the notion of best programming myself, and I think that may be underlying some of what Bonnie says. I think it should just be, you know, the idea is that there's programming in the various station, in the various station areas that for different reasons are going to be appealing to people who don't happen to live there. I mean, people can always say, well, you just listen to online or something, but I think the idea is to give people in each station area an idea of what's going on. You know, people can't know what they like or what's best if they don't know what's on the air, you know. So I think what I would suggest is moving away from the idea of, you know, best of, and just sort of other things going on in Pacifica, you know, if there's a way to phrase it that way, you know, because I'll get away from the problem of determining, well, what's the best, you know, and that could bring in all, you know, sorts of issues of its own. And then a way to do it that certainly isn't must carry, but a way to do it that's functional and meaningful, so it's not, so at least some of the stations are doing it, and so it has some meaning as opposed to this, you know, backburn idea. I mean, I appreciate. I think Bonnie's approach is also good. The potential problem with that is that it's kind of thing like in that with that model potentially could only happen once or twice a year or something, as opposed to it being more a more regular basis. And so to that extent, as people have said earlier, I think there needs to be more serious discussion, about how to implement it, among the station managers and so forth. So that's what I have.
Yeah, good points. Serene.
Hi. I'm very supportive of some of the ideas I hear, but I'm a little concerned that we seem to be focusing in call after call on specific program proposals originating out of this committee, when I think our primary task is to sort of set up a framework for how national programming happens. So, I mean, it may even appear to some people who don't understand that you're just, not you individually, but we're just sort of pumped about getting it done, that in the conversation we end up talking about specifics. I think we really need to sort of take a few steps back and do what I understood we were primarily asked to do, which is to come up with a programming policy. How do we get national programming? How do we structure it? Certainly if there are costs involved, how do we pay for it? The idea of having a must-carry or having something that's not a must-carry, that a station may never air, but if there are costs involved that they're expected to chip in for, is likely to create some a little bit of resentment, perhaps. While I'm enthusiastic about some of the ideas that I'm hearing, I just think we really need to have a more general discussion about how national programming should be structured, get the national policy in place. That's something that we've touched on but not resolved. And, of course, we still have the Spanish language stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually ask that, folks take time to read this report. If it was sent out today, I didn't see it. I didn't have access during much of the day, and I didn't see this at all. So I'm just suggesting that while it's an interesting discussion, it may not be the best use of our time right now.
Serene, could I just ask you to share with me, the approach, the things that you think we should include in the policy?
Well, I know that...
Because I'm in agreement with you that our main job is to create a policy.
The subcommittee, which ended up coming up with a pitch program of its own, I understood was first tasked with structuring national programming. Do we want it to be must-carry? How frequently? I think in our discussion we did in fact talk that on that first call about doing it on the weekend so it doesn't displace a lot of local programming. We talked about getting the national policy in place so that we can have someone who then serves as the go-to person, someone who serves as a coordinator. It's essential that we have program directors involved in these decisions. And I don't know that we've really had that. I'm not thrilled with the level of input we've had from those particular areas. I understand that they're dealing with many, many concerns, and it may just be a matter of timing. But however we do it, really need to get them involved so that we make sure that we're addressing right up front a lot of the things that concern them, so we don't invest a lot of time hashing out something that we believe is a workable policy to then be faced with a million objections.
Could I get on stack, please? It's Bonnie.
I've got many ideas for specific programming, among them youth programming. I'm desperate to hear people under 25 and under 35 on our air on a regular basis contributing all the things they have to contribute. I just don't think that being terribly specific don't, when we come up with an idea that someone then has a personal attachment to, before we put the policy in place, I think that's where we run into problems. I don't know if I've answered your question.
No, I like what you were saying.
Can we move the stack, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Rob, I didn't hear you.
I got cut off. I was just saying, Serene, I like many of your ideas, and I'm also concerned about... Oh, goodness.
Uh-oh. Who's
that?
We know who that is.
Someone did a call by accident? Okay.
If you could just simply give me an outline of some of the parameters that you'd like included, I'd love to see that. I'm not trying to make... you know, an onerous assignment, but I agree with you that the fundamental thing for us to do is to establish a policy. But you know, it's very difficult getting everyone to talk about some of the different aspects of that policy. So I'm just asking. Okay. Then is there any more discussion that we need to have about that subcommittee's...
You've got several people on the stack.
Oh, I'm Robert. Sorry, I forgot. Bonnie said she wanted to speak.
I asked to be put back on it, too. Had you put me back on it, too?
Okay, yes, Ken, you can speak after Bonnie.
I wanted to give you a little bit of information. I asked to be put on. You don't have to put me on, but I want you to
Teresa,
know that...
Oh, Teresa, did I forget you? I apologize.
Let me just give you this bit of information. The affiliates are already doing this. As you know, they have a show called Sprouts.
Great.
And... various affiliates offer to do a Sprouts program. And Ursula Rudenberg, who in a way is doing some of our national program director type work.
Yes, we're working with Ursula a lot.
Working with the affiliates. So you may want to get on this discussion list so you can see, because like Dean Becker sends in the titles of all of his drug war shows, Building Bridges, Mind Talk, they send in the titles and you see them, and so many of the affiliates are putting their information into AudioPort. In fact, we just had an affiliate from Boston, a fairly large station, join, not for Democracy Now! Or our programming, but to see what's on AudioPort, because they want to build their news department, and it's a huge current card catalog, basically, of programs that people are getting on the AudioPort as quickly as they can, because these producers want others to see their work and cut and paste and create programs with it and get some name recognition and get information out. So this is already being done right now with the affiliates, where people are sending in their best programs, especially if they think that somebody else might be interested in using it, playing it on another station, for example. So maybe this could be, you know, somehow put as something like Pacifica Highlight and sent to AudioPort. So and then another thing they're discussing is green programming, something that doesn't have a time on it. If in case Sprouts didn't have a program, something came up at the last minute and whatever station couldn't do it, they would have a little file of green programs that they could pull one out, just like using the archives to do a program. So maybe we can build on what the affiliates are all, I mean, what Ursula is already doing with the affiliates.
Excellent point. Bonnie.
Yeah, I'm not to be a hog. I'm going to have to go in a moment. I just wanted to... elaborate a little bit. When I said we ought to pull the GMs in, I kind of misspoke. I think it should probably be either PDs or GMs and PDs. We just don't have one here, so I forget to say PDs. And I think one of the things that it will be good to have them involved is each station really does have some differences. I think Serene was saying that her thought was that it should be on weekends, because then it wouldn't be misplacing local programming. In fact, in KPFA's case, all of our programming on the weekends is local programming.
Same with KPFT.
And I think that it may be the case with some of the other stations. One great thing about this idea of highlights of Pacifica, and I agree with Joe, I kind of like the word highlight, or
yes,
some other snappy title we could come up with, better than best of.
Yep.
because I just don't like the award show concept of programming. But the audio port could be a really, it costs virtually nothing to put things up there. It can grow to become a really valuable tool in this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if I ever get the time to get it together, I keep intending to put a number of live performances from musicians with interviews up there so that people can grab them. The nice thing about it being sort of a highlight show that is offered to people so that if they choose to run it as a series and they have the time, they can, or they can start by just sticking a toe in the water by using things. You know, we have things come up. Something that happens at our radio stations, and I don't think KPFA is alone in this, is those of us who are longtime programmers there, I think once in a while would like to take a break, but we feel a little unsure about saying that we might want to be gone on a sabbatical for 2 months. Or we might, you know, you have to realize that everybody is a little cautious about stuff like this. And I think if we had things where it didn't necessarily mean that an entirely new show had to be built to fill a hole, that we might find that space opens up more comfortably. I don't know if I'm being very clear about this.
It makes sense.
That's pretty much what I have to say. I think that this can be really exciting, and yes, I agree that really what our job is to look at it from a policy place. And in getting the general managers and program directors involved, I think that we bridge that gap.
Okay.
And I'm really sorry. I have to run.
Okay.
So nice talking to all of you.
All right.
Bye.
I'll be back. I'll be leaving the phone for a few moments. I'll be back.
Okay, Joe. Right. Did anyone not get to speak on this issue that wants to be recognized?
This is Arturo Lemus from KPFK.
Arturo.
I just want to apologize for joining you guys late.
Greetings.
I'm here listening.
How do you spell your last name?
L-E-M-U-S.
Okay.
Did Ken want to speak?
Yeah, Ken's waiting on the sticker.
Ken, you're on deck again. Hit
okay,
it.
Cool. With respect to what I wanted to say, that the one thing that I had wanted to talk about before that I had forgotten was about station politics and determining this contribution, you know, how does it get selected and all that. I think Maria made a very good effort here as to how this could be resolved or what stakeholders need to be involved in the decision to make sure that it's balanced and not, representing a single point of view. And I think Joe's suggestion to take away the word best is good, too, because that sort of
yes.
takes some of the award-winning kind of thing out of it. I had thought, after he said that, I thought of the term sampler, Pacifica sampler, but Pacifica Highlights is good, too. In terms of what Serene was saying, though, about the policy issue, I think we all are agreed that our purpose here is, among other things, is to come up with policy. I think we did do that in the course of this call, and that was generated the document that Rob has circulated. But I think that what we're also finding, and anybody else who was on that call, I guess Maria's gone now, so she can't do it, but correct me if I'm wrong, is that it seems to make sense to talk about examples of how these policies can work, how collaborative broadcasting can work. It's a little difficult to talk about it in the abstract. It's a lot more easy to demonstrate it in the concrete. So I think certain programming ideas naturally occur that say, well, you know, here's a way that this could be done in a way that, you know, doesn't require a must carry, but does involve collaboration from the different stations and, works out for everybody to maximize the use of scarce resources. And so I think that that's why these program ideas are generated, and I think they will be usefully they make a useful complement to the policy itself. And I would hope that we could by the next meeting, the next conference call, agree to approve that initial formulation that Rob has passed around after we tweak it a bit, after everybody's satisfied with the final form of it. And finally, in terms of what Teresa said, I think that a very good idea would be to invite Ursula to be part of these conference calls for a while and see what she has to say. I think her input would be invaluable.
Can I get on the stage?
You may.
I
think you're next. I don't think anyone else is after Ken, unless I'm wrong.
Actually, Teresa, if I'm not mistaken, is a member of the affiliates committee, right?
Correct.
So am I. Maria is part of that, too.
Okay. And it would sort of, if we linked her presence on the call to the affiliate work, it would sort of, if you could excuse the use of this term, legitimize your presence on the call, since you're not actually the national rep from Houston.
Great.
But it does mean we have to go to the PNB and get permission to alter the structure of a committee, because every national committee has a structure of one national and two local people.
Can I just respond to that, Serene?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a wonderful idea. In fact, I was talking to Ursula today, and she was bewailing the fact that they can't get, that they're having trouble with their participation. And I think it would be great if we could, because I think much of her work with the affiliates, not just indirectly, but directly, you know, has to do with programming policy or the need to develop a programming policy. So I would absolutely wholeheartedly.
So do we need to make that a motion?
I think we ought to just talk to her and see if, you know, what she needs to do. I don't think we need to move anything, but if how does everybody feel formally? Would you feel better formally?
What is it, a motion to include the affiliates? Is that what the motion is?
It's simply to ask Ursula to join us on the call so that we can understand the affiliates' perspective in this.
I would say no, invite her. She's staff. We just invite her.
I was going to say the same way that we sort of added the GMs, because it's a natural to have them involved in any discussion of programming. We can extend that to someone from the affiliates court committee who's not here in any other capacity, which would then, Ursula is welcome to come on the calls also, or instead of Teresa, depending on what their schedules are and how well, I guess, Teresa feels she can represent the current status of things with the affiliates.
This is Ken. I that wasn't exactly what I was suggesting. I was suggesting that Ursula be invited on the call, period, regardless of whether or not Teresa is here. Okay. I would really like to have hear Ursula's feedback directly on a call. That was my original suggestion.
Well, maybe under the circumstances, it would be better if we then just, for form's sake, Serene, would you offer a motion that we invite Ursula to join us for our next regular call?
I'll tell her.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I guess. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think it's a reasonable thing to do, to have input from the affiliates. I do, though, and I raised this before, and this is absolutely not personal, because I think Teresa does have something to contribute. We are, in fact, I don't want to use the term out of order, but the format we're using now for participation in this call is inconsistent.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Is inconsistent with the motion passed by the PNB.
So you think we should just invite her? Is that your position?
No, I'm saying we need to find a way to reasonably explain Teresa's participation in the call, and since she's a member of the affiliates committee, that would be one way of legitimizing, in quotes, her presence on the call. It is not in place of Ursula.
I'm confused. Is it not true that board members can sit in on committee calls even if they're not on the committee?
Sure they can.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was PND policy. I understood the vote to say specifically. In fact, the bylaws say that those national committees are made up of a director and two delegates from each.
She doesn't have a voting.
I think you could argue that she doesn't have a voting membership on this committee, but I think that she's certainly entitled as a PNB member to participate in any committee that's meeting at any time.
Yeah, I'm not interested in voting, and I only spoke up to actually give you some information because I thought that actually you were duplicating some effort. So
So
no, and it's useful information, and it's not a question about you personally. I'm saying my understanding is that there's a structure for national committees, and PND members are welcome to listen like anybody else. If they're not on the call, they're welcome to listen to the stream. But I had not been aware that there had been a sanctioned practice of PNB members who are not members of any given committee being part of that committee's call.
She's not part of the committee. Yeah. She's just sitting in.
No, I said part of the committee's call.
Yeah, no, they can be on any part. A lot of the other committees have had people drop in that are PNB members. It is part of the PNB policy, as I understand it.
Okay.
Any PNB member can. And I could be wrong. Maybe I got to go back and read my bylaws again. But they can sit in on and be, and the chair can recognize them to make a few recommendations or comments. We certainly have been doing that in the other committees I'm on. But the distinction is that they don't get a vote.
I'm certainly not trying to change the balance of power toward KPFT. So
there's no power, not to worry. That was my issue.
Chair thinks I'm out of order.
No, that wasn't what Serene was suggesting. Teresa,
I understand Serene's concern, and I'm just trying to be as helpful and unobtrusive as possible.
And this is Arturo.
And you're taking notes. I mean, you know.
This is Arturo. Can we formalize this? Can we say that we invite these two individuals to participate in the conference call, and at the same time, can the chair look into whatever particular legality or protocol is appropriate?
Thank you, Arturo. That I appreciate you doing that. So, unless there's an objection, I will ask Ursula to join us at the next call and give us her perspective,
mm-hmm.
and I will also nail down any policy issues that may exist and report back to the board to that effect.
Thank you.
Report back to the committee.
Back to the committee. Thank you, Sean.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else that wants to discuss the somewhat attenuated matter that we're on now from Ken's subcommittee? Okay, if not, then the other thing is I just want to make clear that I will be working with Bonnie Simmons from KPFA to make sure that the group that was looking into the program evaluation process, which is yet another somewhat unexplored aspect of programming policy, that we reconvene that group within the next month. And I believe the people that were on that group included myself, Bonnie, Ken, Maria Armudian, and Serene. I'm not sure whether you were on that or not, the program evaluation group.
Yep.
Pardon me?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to follow through on that.
Okay. Rob, would you please repeat what you want me to say as a report from this program evaluation subcommittee?
I will be communicating with Bonnie Simmons, who will convene another meeting of the subcommittee that's working on program evaluation. And that group includes Bonnie Simmons, Ken Freeland, Maria Armudian, and Serene Roberts, and myself.
Serene, Ken, Maria, Bonnie, and you.
Yep. And if anyone else wants to participate, they are welcome to speak up now.
Or forever hold their peace.
Okay.